Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Talkin' Steelers Football. I'm Bob Labriola, joined as always by Mike Prasuta of the DVE Morning Show. We are here to bring you a preview edition of the before the Steelers get on the plane and travel to Kansas City for a night game against the Chiefs. First things first, the injury report as it exists for the Steelers up to the minute. Wide receiver Arnez Battle with a hamstring, linebacker Stevenson Sylvester with a calf, and linebacker Lamar Woodley with a hamstring, all are listed as questionable. Probable, which means they will play, are James Harrison, Troy Polamalu, Ben Roethlisberger, and wide receiver Emmanuel Sanders. Trying to read some tea leaves here. Stevenson Sylvester did not practice either Thursday or Friday after apparently injuring his calf, in Wednesday's practice. So I wouldn't anticipate him being able to play. Lamar Woodley was limited throughout the week, really has not put in a full practice since injuring his hamstring in the second half of the game against the New England Patriots. So I'm not expecting to see Woodley out there at outside linebacker. And so I assume the Steelers will go with Jason Worlds as the starter, as the primary guy there in sub-packages. Who knows how they configure things. May see some Larry Foote inside and some Lawrence Timmons outside. But, that's for Tyler Palko to try to figure out. I don't have to worry about that because they aren't going to be trying to rip my nose off my face.
Yeah, and I'm sure Tyler Palko will figure it out. The question is, what can he do about it once he figures it out? And I don't think very much, Bob. The latest word out of Kansas City is that Tyler Palko will, in fact, start. Kyle Orton had some travel-related issues getting to Kansas City. Big surprise, right? He was trying to get there on the busiest travel day
right,
of the year.
Right, weekend, yeah.
And maybe it's going to work out the way it worked out for the Raiders when they played the Chiefs a couple weeks ago. Carson Palmer had been signed, and boy, is a couple days enough to get a guy up to speed to play in an NFL game. The Raiders ended up going to Carson Palmer because their starter was that ineffective, and Carson Palmer was worse. I think Tyler Palko's in the argument for the worst quarterback in the NFL as we sit here, and take that for what it's worth.
That's quite a big NFL. That includes Jeff Spicoli, Bartles, and James, and Red Skelton.
Those would be probably the
his competition.
I actually don't think Curtis Painter, a.k.a. Jeff Spicoli, is horrid. But those guys in Arizona and young Tyler Palko, not sure this is their life's work, Bob. might want to think about doing something else.
You know, Tyler Palko, football family, smart guy. Sounds like a coach to me.
Yes, I could see
and
that.
And I think he could be good at it.
Probably be a great coach.
Yeah.
And, again, I don't want to sound like I'm just destroying Tyler Palko, but this is the guy the Steelers are playing, so I'm trying to frame the degree of difficulty. And he was obviously a great quarterback in high school, obviously a great quarterback in college. He's taken this quarterback thing a lot further than the vast majority of people who try to play the position at any level at some point. But there comes a time when you realize you're in over your head, and I think he's there.
Yeah, and let me say this, too. In my opinion, the fact that Tyler Palko is having to start meaningful football games for the Kansas City Chiefs is not his fault. It is Kansas City's fault for not having someone else there. He is what he is, and it's not like all of a sudden, Tyler Palko was revealed not to have an NFL caliber arm or, other of the measurables that, he is somewhat lacking. I mean, again, this is not his fault. This is the great genius Scott Pioli's fault, the GM of the Chiefs.
He used to work for that team up north, didn't he?
Yes, as T Sizzle Suggs would say, yeah, that team up north.
That was my tribute to him because regarding last night.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
We've seen that before, but it doesn't get old. What a football player.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
He is pretty good. Number 92 in that wearing the ugly bird on his helmet ain't bad either. I don't know that they blocked either one of those guys too much at all. Last night, what we're talking about for anyone who doesn't catch the nuances is the Ravens' 16-6 win over the 49ers in the Harbowl, as they were calling it. You know, Mike, just real quick on that.
I was calling it something else, but.
Yeah. About the ATM machine.
No.
Just a quick my take on that. To me, it was patently obvious that the San Francisco 49ers, not having experienced the Ravens or experienced the Ravens in Baltimore, had no ability to understand what they were going to face going into that game. And I don't know, some of the shots I saw of 49ers quarterback Alex Smith through his helmet inside that face mask didn't look like he was real pleased with what was going on. It seemed a lot of running for their lives there in the scarlet and gold or whatever those uniforms are.
Yeah, they never did figure out how to pass block, and it's probably because they don't see defenses like that in the NFC West. I thought San Francisco was physical. I thought they were trading punch for punch. It was that kind of game, field goal here, field goal there. Trying to run the ball and take your 3 yards and be oh so happy you got that many.
And punting is not a bad play.
But when it came time to drop back and throw the ball down the field, they were unable to do it because they couldn't keep their quarterback upright. It wasn't – sometimes they got blitzed and schemed, but sometimes they just got beat three guys, four guys. Bad offensive line as far as pass protection. I thought that exposed the Achilles heel of the Niners, the fatal flaw. The thing that's going to get them beat maybe when the Steelers go out there eventually in the playoffs. But I think I could say now with some degree of certainty that's not a bad football team.
And you mean the 49ers?
Yes.
Yeah, and one of the things to me, the problems that the offensive line had, and you were mentioning how the Ravens were off and able to get pressure without blitzing, you know, they'd line up three or four or five players there. Who's coming, who's not.
Yeah.
And that split second of indecision where they didn't recognize who was coming quick enough. Maybe there was some problem here in the snap count too, which could have been a possibility. But that momentary indecision allowed the Ravens, even though oftentimes it was four rushers on five or six pass blockers, you know, they got to Alex Smith pretty easily. And, man, is he average. Whoa.
Yeah,
man,
average. Doesn't stink.
Right.
Obviously overdrafted and overpaid
yes.
and all that stuff, but there are worse quarterbacks than him out there. We're going to see one of them on Sunday night. I thought he showed some toughness. He hung in there.
Oh, yeah. Right. There's,
he competed.
Yeah, I'm not.
They didn't give him a chance.
Yeah, not mocking. This is not a mocking. I mean, because, as you said, it was physical, it was hard fought. They traded punches, all of that good stuff. Just seemed to me to be overmatched. Okay, back to Kansas City. You don't really think. You were there in 2009.
Yes, I was.
You don't really think that could happen again, do you?
Bob, if it does, there are profound issues here with the Steelers that I have not yet become aware of. I mean, they're a lukewarm, decent effort should beat that team. A full throttle prepared, hitting on all cylinders effort should bury that team. And that's my take. I know it's the NFL. I know they all get paid. I know the Chiefs have won some games. All the, you know, I know it's tough on the road and it's loud and blah, 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 blah. This got to be 38-3. If the Steelers don't play that well, it's 24-10.
Yeah, the last time the Steelers went there, of course, I believe the Chiefs had one win. And the Steelers went there, laid an egg. It was an incredible egg that they laid. Began with the opening kickoff return for a touchdown by Jamal Charles, who is currently on the injured reserve list, which helps the Steelers, I think. And two interceptions, one return 94 yards, not for a touchdown, but return 94 yards by Andy Studebaker, not to be confused with Corey Escalade. Andy Studebaker, though, backup left outside linebacker for your Kansas City Chiefs.
Nor should it be confused with William Clay Ford.
Definitely not there, because William Clay Ford, if he can't get off the edge, he does have enough money to pay someone who can. But, you know, again, I mean, guys, just guys. Steelers, I don't know. didn't show up last time, took it lightly.
Laid an egg, all that stuff, and it still went to overtime.
Yes.
It's one of the worst games they've played in our collective recent memories.
Yes.
Along and with several in that run of five.
Yeah, there were.
The thing in Cleveland a couple weeks after that was maybe worse. But, yep. Go out there, stop the run, and then they're done.
Yeah.
That's my simplistic take.
And don't turn it over.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're not -2 or -3 in turnover ratio, I don't really see how the Chiefs can line up and win this game. Is there anything, Steve Breston, Dwayne Bowe, any of these people concern you at all?
If they're running the ball, then they have the shot to use play action and maybe something happens off of that. But I'm very curious to see how the Steelers respond in this kind of environment, because what they've just gone through, that gauntlet of New England, Baltimore, and Cincinnati. What's that saying around here? Iron sharpens iron.
Yeah.
Iron ought to be pretty sharp right about now coming off a bye, I would suspect.
And, no rust with the week off?
I don't think. I think they're kind of sensing now's the time. The coaching staff's pushing buttons. The calendar's about to turn again. We're going to get ready for some December football. Even though it's a nice day in Pittsburgh today, you can kind of smell in the air what time of year it is in terms of what point of the season we are at. And I think the Steelers are going to embrace that and respond to it.
I know this is something that interests you tremendously, and I did check on it for you today because of how much you are interested in this. We are now into the final 6 weeks of the NFL regular season, which means, according to the new CBA, that you are only allowed to have 3 more padded practices the rest of the year.
I've almost forgotten about that. Wow. Well, good thing they had the gauntlet to sharpen the iron then, because apparently that was the last major physicality in terms of preparing the team for what's ahead.
Kansas City, had the Chiefs not lost such a significant part, especially of their offense, in my opinion, to injuries, especially early in the year, Jamal Charles and Tony Moyaki.
Moyaki. I was hoping you were going to throw in Tony Moyaki, because you know where he's from.
Iowa.
Another Big Ten tight end.
Well, I mean, what could be?
Do I have to say more?
Drafted on the 3rd round. I mean, you can only hope to contain him.
In all seriousness, he's a pretty good player.
Yeah, I know, and that's why I mentioned him. Yeah. But they also lost their Troy Polamalu, Eric Berry, and
their quarterback. That's
right, Matt Castle. That was a recent loss.
Yeah.
But the Chiefs are pretty bad against the run, and Mike Tomlin was speculating a little bit today that the loss of Eric Berry and the constant revolving door that the Chiefs have had there, safety play is a big part of stopping the run in the NFL these days. When you don't have your starter or your, obviously Eric Berry, a high first round pick, very talented guy. When you don't have him, and then you're also kind of rotating guys through there trying to find some sort of combination that works, that can be problematic, and it seems that it has been for the Chiefs.
Let's just look at the recent performance. And I know that Kansas City's got 4 W's here on the card, so they're not
– Oh, they're right. They're not totally inept. They're not
the worst team ever. But November the 6th, they lost 31-3 to Miami.
At home.
The next week, lost 17-10 to Tim Tebow at home. And then the most recent performance, 34-3 at New England. Throwing a couple blowouts early in the year, Buffalo 41-7, Detroit 48-3. That's when they were healthy, for crying out loud, or healthier. This team's been blown out 4 times.
Yes.
That doesn't happen in this league.
No, it does not.
But it's happened to them. So that's what can happen. That's what should happen. It's up to the Steelers to make it happen, Bob.
And
as they like to say, it's about the Steelers.
What we do, right.
How they execute, how they prepare, how they perform. If they do their thing, this team can't stop them.
Exactly. Well, one of those situations where if the Steelers play competently – Yes, it's difficult for me to imagine a realistic scenario in which they win.
Of course, if you hit the rewind button, we were saying all this stuff in 2009.
Oh, yeah. And
that is why they play the game.
Point of order, there will be a new starting left guard, Doug Legursky, for Chris Kimoyatu. Based on what Kimoyatu said himself in the locker room the past couple of days, it's pretty much a performance issue. Kimoyatu has said that his knee is healthy enough that that is not a reason/excuse. And, the Steelers are making a move there. It's one of several that have been made over the course of this season. As Hines Ward said on his show on WDVE on Tuesday, Mike Tomlin has no sacred cows. Hines Ward, another guy who is, has firsthand experience of that. I don't know about you. I'm in favor of no sacred cows.
I am too. Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know what people thought about Warren Sapp's comments early in the year, but they're certainly not as old as they were at that point, based on the way things have shifted.
Yeah, and I think that this is a way to
I know he was talking mostly about the defense, but
right.
In all these instances, it's been
gotten younger.
The changes to a younger guy.
Yeah,
it's a young man's game, isn't it, Coach?
Yeah, absolutely. Except talking about it, that is a experienced, savvy veteran's
correct.
Game, as you and I both know very well. Talking to Tunchiok and Craig Wolfley, you and I both do that as on the many shows that we're on. They say players respect that. If you're on this team, you see the coach doing these kinds of things, because again, their performance issues, not even necessarily all of them related to poor performance by the guys who may have been the starters, but options and better play by the guys behind them who are kind of forcing these changes. So, I like it, and I think that it is when you put what the head coach has been doing with what the offensive coordinator Bruce Arians said to his unit about this is no time for personal goals, this is all about winning and getting to the Super Bowl, it's not about the Pro Bowl. I like that. I like the attitude. I like the way that the coaching staff is being kind of proactive, both in making moves and talking about potential pitfalls. I think it bodes well here for these final 6 weeks of this regular season.
Yeah, I think on the good teams, the teams that have a chance to go all the way, you couldn't help but be in favor of this kind of stuff. It is about the team. And, it's very rare you'll hear a coach or a player criticize another player. Sometimes coaches do it. Players almost never do it. That's just, you don't call out a teammate
right.
in the press. But they watch the film.
They're
on the field. They're playing the games. They know what's going on. They know who's screwing up and who isn't.
Who's playing well.
Yeah, and they know what the standard is. And I think the guys around here like winning. I think this current staff has a pretty good amount in the bank, as Mike Tomlin might say, that, follow us, do what we tell you, and it's going to work out. I think there's a pretty solid belief in that. In the locker room, so hey, why not?
That's right.
And at the same time, check your own area, police that up, because you might be next.
Be on your details, and you and I can tell by looking at both of us that we enjoyed some turkey this week. Let's hope on Monday we're not eating crow. For Mike Prisuta, I'm Bob Labriola. Thanks for listening.
That was so corny, I enjoyed it.
Talk to you Monday, hopefully about a Steelers win in Kansas City.